And welcome to our second episode of Transparency in Teaching. This is 002, and it has to do all about grading and what it's about, where it came from, how it works, etc. We have a lot to say about that, for sure. But before we get started, I wanted to introduce again. We have joined by
Jen
and
Sharon.
And I also wanted to thank Maria for sharing with us a article she found about our last topic, which was
teachers leaving.
Why do teachers quit?
And it was an article from
Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah. The teacher lasted
two weeks.
And it's exactly what we talked about last time. So check it out and get some more information. And
but why did he leave?
Behavior.
Unruly kids.
Yeah. Yep. Today we're going to get started talking about grading, and it's a very controversial topic in a lot of ways. So, anyways, I thought we'd start with a little bit of background. Like, where did grades come from anyway? How come we are grading? What is going on with that?
Okay, so I did a little research, and I read a couple articles, and apparently grades, before they became actual grades, students were graded on exit exams, but not necessarily anything marked on paper. It was more at the teacher's discretion to decide if a kid mastered a skill, and if they did, they would move on to the next level, and so on. And then somebody came up with an interesting idea to start an actual grading system. Did you guys know that A, B, C, D, and E were the first grades? There was no F. Yeah, E for híjole. Yeah, there was no F. And it's so crazy. Like, listen to this. Check this out. So it was based on like a 5-point system. So basically, your A's were a 95 to 100 points. And these weren't even percentages yet. B was 90 to 94, C was 85 to 89, D was an 80 to 84, and E was your 75 to 79, which we consider the C range now, right? And then F, when F was finally introduced, that was for failure. But in the beginning, E was actually considered failure. Anything below 75% was you suck. So that moved on to then the point system of the percentage based on 100%, right? Where we kind of are stuck in limbo now, 90 to, 100% in A, all the way down
to
A, B, C, D,
and F. But did that mean before the percentages came in, did that mean that every assignment was worth 100 points?
That's how it started up, yes. Mm-hmm. It was on a 100-point system. And then that moved to a percentage system, right?
The whole course was 100 points?
An assignment would be worth 100 points.
Okay.
Right? So if you scored 95 to 100, that was considered an A.
So how do you pass the class? You just pass each assignment?
That is a great question. I don't know. Doesn't kind of quite go from there. But obviously didn't last too long, because then that moved on to
100%.
So, and it, different parts of, the United States were doing things a little bit differently. There was some schools that were on a 4-point system. You know what I mean? 4 was your A, three was a B.
Some people still do that.
Yeah. But check this guy out. There's a guy, and by the way, guys, all of in the show notes will be all of the links to all these articles where we got this information. But there was at the university in London, there was quite a long time ago, teachers were paid based on the amount of students that they had. And this guy, I would be a millionaire. Yes, $1 million. But so this guy, he graded, and he had very successful students. He graded by, sitting down with them, talking to them. It was all, narrative based. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to make some more money. I'm going to get some more kids in here. So he actually started the grading system of the A, B, C, D in at a university in England, so that he could take on more students and easily,
make more money
and push them through. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting, kind of crazy. And then we get introduced to the bell curve, right? The curve system.
Oh yeah.
Curve system starts, where you cut grades off at a certain, you know, start at a certain point and stop at a certain point.
And that's so that you have an even amount of A's mm-hmm. and F's, uh-huh. right? Yeah. And the majority of your kids are C's.
Or average.
Yeah,
right. Or average. Because that would be average.
Yeah.
Is that mm-hmm. fair? I think what's happening now is everybody gets an A.
Right,
that's,
right.
An A has absolutely no value anymore.
Well, everybody gets a trophy. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, but so then.
Well, that happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's not just, mm-hmm. it's just not in school.
I think the problem with letter grades now, aside from them being subjective.
Totally subjective. Totally.
And one teacher's A is another teacher's C.
Exactly.
So what does it really mean? And I think it's.
Doesn't mean anything. It means I can get into college.
That yes.
Right? That's important. But I don't know. Can I jump in there with this one? So this article was talking about leading change with effective grading policies. And, you know, he starts off like, ask your colleagues to calculate what this student would receive for a grade with all of these choices. And, you know, everybody's going to give some weird range from an A to an F, because everybody calculates missing assignments differently, mm-hmm. you know? And so if you've got missing assignments, are you averaging that in as a zero, or are you going, you know, let's keep everything at 50 and above? Mm-hmm. But so there's different pros and cons to that stopping at 50 or continuing on to zero. But one thing that he said here is, this school in Indiana, where is it? Urban school, okay, Indianapolis, Indiana. 75% free reduced lunch, high mobility, increased numbers of EL, lots of failures. And
sounds like our school.
Yeah, it does, right? And so they refocused their grading. Doesn't really say exactly what they did. But
of course not.
Yeah, of course not. Why would they tell you? But what they said is basically everything improved. Morale improved. Student tardiness improved. Like class cuts fell. Tardies fell significantly. They had an increase in students taking AP classes. Suspensions declined.
But what did they refocus their grades on? So I think I bet it's something like
improved
standards.
Feedback.
Oh, okay.
Intervention for students.
I saw that a lot.
So that's like it. Improved feedback and intervention for students. You know, I think about like how I was graded in high school, and oh my gosh, it would take forever to get essays back.
Right?
Forever to get essays back. But my teacher, Schechner. He'd give us the Schechner guarantee.
William Schechner?
Schechner guarantee. If he didn't give it back to you the next day, he knew he was ready. If he didn't give it back to you the next day, everybody got an A. Right?
Oh,
but
dang.
Of course he knew he was ready. Right? And so he would give them back. But those essays were marked up everywhere.
But
there's feedback on everything.
Yes, but the problem is, I'm an English teacher.
Right.
I've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. I've spent hours and hours mm-hmm. going over essays, redlining, right. circling, suggesting, and I hand the paper back to the kid. The kid goes, oh, it's a B, and in the trash it goes.
Well, and I'm going to quote this study right here, that many students do not even read written feedback, much less use it to improve future work right here.
Right. So,
study.
I mean, so like, if you're going to do, if you're going to do all that work, I think, and then also, because I went to a private school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we only had, 12 kids in a class?
Right. A lot of this stuff, like, there's a big push towards standards-based grading.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying, like, that it gives the kids more feedback, and they can evaluate it against their targets and the standard. Are you meeting this or not? And that it improves the teacher's instruction. But my question then is, well, okay, so in my class of 36 kids, Johnny is not quite meeting the standard. Emily is in the middle of the standard. And I've got 5 kids over here who have met the standard and are waiting to go on. What do I do? How do I differentiate my classes? Not necessarily just my class, but even in my classes when I have that many
right.
students, if you're going to do standard grading.
Yeah.
And if you want to do narrative grading where you sit with each
right.
kid uh-huh. and talk to them about what they're doing well and what they're doing nice, it's a nice idea. in
it's really hard in practice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like when they do that at our school with the math teachers have done that, right? And they have a sub.
And the English teachers, yeah.
And they have a sub, yeah. And you have a sub, right? So there's, you have your class going, and then basically you're pulling a kid individually out of class, right?
Right. That, but it still wasn't, it's not enough time because.
How long did that take you guys?
It took, they got us subs for 2 days. Uh-huh. It took me about 5 days after that, just calling kids up during when we were doing independent work. Uh-huh. And then the conversation was like, here's what you got. Here's where you want to be. Here is your scores for this. Yeah. Here's where you need to improve. Try better next time.
Yeah, you didn't really get a conversation.
Yeah, you can't get deep into a conversation.
No, and half of that conversation needs to be had with parents too, I think.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, I think, with standards-based grading. And that's a huge push right now, you know, for parents and students that want to do that. So the other problem is homework, right? Grading homework.
I stopped giving homework.
Yeah, me too.
Years ago.
I think the argument, though, that you hear for homework is it teaches kids responsibility. Uh-uh. It teaches kids to be organized.
That's bullshit. It's supposed to teach me to be organized. I remember going into the kindergarten teacher and going, this is horrible. You can't do this. You can't give this kid a zero for not having the homework complete.
Okay, so that's
and
part of that.
Give them a zero if they don't turn if it's missing, you know, or it's late. You won't take it late. Wouldn't take it late and give them a zero if it was incomplete in fucking kindergarten. I looked at her and I'm like, this is ridiculous. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's teaching them responsibility and time management. I go, bullshit. It's teaching them responsibility and time management. What you're telling me is I can't manage my time.
Sharon's got issues.
Well, I don't have kids and I stopped giving grades.
Yeah, it's like you're telling me I can't manage my time.
That's another thing. It's like, what are we grading?
Right.
Right? I think that's what teachers have to focus on first. Like, what is the outcome you want to see? And then allowing the kids to work towards that, right? Practice getting towards that. For example, if a kid takes a test and he fails it, right? And then we don't give them any opportunity to improve on that test score. I mean, then they're not having a chance to relearn that.
Ugh. Oh my God.
You know, that's.
See, I don't give tests either.
Okay, well, yeah.
I don't do homework or tests.
Oh, yeah. No wonder Jen is everybody's favorite teacher.
I don't believe in tests. Mark the bubble, true or false. No,
I think what teachers need to do is figure out ways for kids to demonstrate what they know. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a
test.
A, B,
right.
C, D.
It is not.
You
right.
know,
yes.
But then it's like, how do you grade that? Right. It's always going to be subjective. And there's one example of a girl who was in elementary school and she was getting A's and everything. She, you know, turned her work in. She got A's on everything. And she did her homework and everything. But then the next year, the teacher graded her totally different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now she was like, well, did that teacher lie to me? Am I really not good at math? Mm-hmm.
Right.
What's going on with that? So do you think that in order for grades to be equitable, she's laughing, that is it possible, I guess, for an entire school to adopt some kind of a cohesive grading system so that students would really know, like, from one teacher to another, what the expectations were? You know, I think an entire school?
A whole school? A whole public school?
Well, we have it.
A school that, you know, you don't pick your teachers?
It's
I mean, if you were creating your own school and you know, you could get some core values of people and possibly create something like that. But I mean, we would all have to be on the same page, you know, that a C is average.
Right.
You know, is that what we want? Do we want a C to be average, or do we want that, you know, that A is like, yeah, you're a good student.
Yeah.
And so you get this A. Or is it really, you get the A because you can answer the test questions.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're like, how do you get it?
It's got to be I tell my students this. This is what I tell my students. A C means you did what you were asked. This is what the assignment required, and you did exactly that. A B means you went a little bit above that, did a little bit extra, showed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And an A means you were far and above what you had to do, what the expectation was. That's what how it should be, right? Mm-hmm. A C means average. That's nothing wrong with being average. But what happens is everybody thinks that if they turn in the assignment, I get this all the time. Why is my grade still an F? I turned in all my work. Yeah. It has nothing to do with turning in your work. Mm-hmm. It's about the quality of your work. And that's what we're missing, is getting kids to produce quality work because they want to, not because it makes them get an A.
Jeez, really? Like, I never wanted to. There was always some incentive. Like, I didn't start getting A's till my parents started bribing me big time.
Yeah, what do you think about that? These kids, if I get an A, I get $10 an A. Is it like whatever works?
Oh my gosh, my parents were like to my brother, you get straight A's and we'll send you on a ski trip to Switzerland. Because he was suffering so poorly in school.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. He didn't get A. But look at him and look at me. How are you going to measure success? Are you measuring it financially? Because he makes a hell of a lot more money than I do and didn't graduate from college, right? Mm-hmm. He just graduated, last year? And he's older than I am. So in his 50s, he's getting his bachelor's degree. You know, I got my master's degree, in my 20s, 30s? You know? So how are you measuring success? Is the money? I mean, money is important. You can't deny that money is not important.
I think that's a problem with our culture, is that a sign of success is being financially secure and having enough money to do what you want, and you're not living paycheck to paycheck. People look at that as being successful, and you don't have to be smart to do that. No, you don't have to go to school do that.
No.
You know, so, you know, it comes back to the point again. It's like, why are we even grading kids?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now that we're having this conversation, I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and too, you know, all through elementary school and through junior high, grades really don't matter because they don't matter.
Yeah.
A kid can do shit all year, nothing, get all Fs. They still go to the next grade level.
Right.
And they know this. By the time they get to us, they're like, well, I don't give two shits. I'm going to go to the next grade anyway. Mm, right. But then when they get to high school,
then they're fucked.
They're so screwed because they don't have
the skills.
Yeah, they don't have the discipline to do the work.
And they don't have the skills now because they haven't been paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens to a lot of these kids is they start off, I call it a culture of failure, right? So they fail and they fail and they fail and they keep getting pushed along and they're failing and they're failing. Mm-hmm. School's hard and I can't read and I can't do math and I'm going on to the next grade. And then they get, like I said, to junior high and they're like, why do I even, I'm not going to try. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, I can't do it.
It's too hard. And that's what I get a lot.
Yeah.
It's too hard. This is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, write a paragraph of 5 sentences. What?
Yep.
5 sentences? Oh my God. You know, it's too hard.
So dramatic. Yes.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
You know, so
I need help before they even attempt.
Right. Did you read the directions? Oh.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah, talk to me after you've read the directions and ask 3 other people for help.
You know, another thing I think that's kind of interesting is that when you go through college to become a teacher,
mm-hmm.
there is no course on how to grade. There is nothing that says here's ways that grading occurs.
No, there's no courses on that. There's no courses on crappy student behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
But my
real classroom management.
My teaching credential program, my professors did grade me every single one at the end. What grade do you think you deserve? What grade do you think you did? Single one. And the first one
I was
like...
You probably even never read your shit. They just gave you what you thought you deserved.
The first one I was like, well, I don't think I read every single article. So, yeah. But I know my stuff. So I'll say B+. And I got a B+. And I was like, really? That's how this is going to work? So every single other one I put A. I had an A in every single class. Every single professor asked.
What university was that?
Do I have to say?
Oh, dude, I got a good story about that one.
That one's the green and yellow. Yeehaw!
This is so bad. Let's talk about grading. So I won't say the college that I went to, but for my master's, I had a choice of some different things that I did, and I ended up writing like this 70-something page paper, and it took me forever, and I was stressed, whatever. Well, the day I went to go hand it in, I've got it, right? And you have to have a meeting, you know, mm-hmm. to go over your results. So I make this meeting to go turn it in. And my professor was like, oh, your paper was so great and blah, 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 blah. I had it with me. I had my paper with me. And I was like, what do I say something? Like, what do I do? I was like speechless because my professor was like, oh, it was great and blah, 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 blah.
Were you pissed? Were you angry about that?
Not at first because I was just like shocked.
In shock.
Yeah. So I submitted it through the office. Through my professor's office. I submitted it anyways, but I ended up getting, you know, an A on it. And the person, I know for a fact, probably never even read it, even after the fact.
So
how crazy is that?
Okay, so let's be honest. How many times have students done work, turned it in, and you just kind of graded it as, oh, you get credit for turning it in.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh, and I would be a liar if I said I didn't. Oh, I know that kid's smart. He does good work. Give him an A because I know his paper's going to be an A.
Right.
So, or his assignment. I've done that too.
That's not just us. I know that's all of us because the amount of work sometimes that we get.
It's too much.
English teachers, I'm sorry. English teachers are the worst. I know this because I'm an English teacher, and it makes me not want to assign essays.
Right.
The problem is kids need to write.
Right.
They need to write and write and write and write, and there's just no way to grade everything they write.
You can't grade everything.
Yeah, you can't.
So it comes down again to, shouldn't all of that be all the homework, all the practice, should we not grade that? And just use that as practice.
Uh-huh.
And then,
yeah.
Then if a kid doesn't do a homework assignment, it's not going to hurt their grade. However, there has to be some kind of a measure then to say that you met that ability. And unfortunately, we've gone to standardized testing now. Mm. And it's basically, those are basically level one questions, right? They're a recall, right?
It's not about science thinking. Isn't like that. The science test isn't like that. I wouldn't say it's level one
standard,
questions.
The standard, state test?
The state testing isn't like that.
Oh, really? That's good. I didn't know.
I don't think it is. But I remember back in high school and my math class, our homework wasn't graded.
It shouldn't be. It's like practice,
never graded.
Right?
It was never graded. And it was, you know, the answers are in the back of the book. Do your homework. Check your answers. Come in. Tell me which ones you want to go over. Okay? And your grade was a test.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, if you can do the math on the test,
that means it. Yes.
That means you understand
it. So that would be great, right?
If you did your homework.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we know that a majority of our students
do not.
Aren't going to go home and do the practice.
Yeah.
You know, they have.
But, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But that just goes back to, see, I went to a private school.
So you
that goes back to that goes back to the increase of the gap, because at the private school, at my school, you know, it was a pretty, you know, expensive private school, and we didn't have any behavior problems.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have any behavior problems. Mm-hmm. We didn't, except for me, I was the behavior problem. You know.
That's easy to believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, those things that I would do. But there weren't behavior problems. So there was no loss of time, instruction time, dealing with, I need you to sit down. I need you to be quiet. Are you okay today? Something seems wrong.
Yeah.
You know, are you, like, why won't you put your head up? Like, there was none. There was none of that, you know? And so, and that's the same thing, because I was talking with our principal, and who has a friend who transferred from one of the low economic schools to the higher economic schools, and she told her, she goes, I feel guilty, because I'm teaching all day.
Yeah.
So, like, how are we going to bridge this gap? No, we're taking a whole different subject.
Yeah.
You know?
Bridging the gap.
Yeah,
but these kids
are not getting the same instructional minutes, even though they were in school the same amount of time.
Right, right.
They're not.
You're not getting the same instructional
like
minutes.
Like every year, I get farther and farther behind in my curriculum, quotes, because I can't get as far because I'm dealing every year with more and more behavior problems and issues. And it's just like, oh.
Well, to kind of bring it back on that.
Yeah, please.
We're getting off our tangent.
Okay, breath. Okay, so this, and I know this has happened at our school, there are teachers at our schools and around the place that believe that my requirement for giving you a harder time on that, for getting a higher grade, means that I held you to higher standards than other teachers, right? And that a teacher with low failure rates says that that she cares enough, right, to have her students do retakes. And so because her grades are better, right, she doesn't have as many Fs and Ds because she takes more time with her students and lets them retake tests and redo homework and do those things. Well, the other teacher's like, well, that just means you get them off easy.
Or the teachers say, we got to move on.
I'm cracking a beer. Sorry for the noise.
Go for it. All right.
Crack number two. I'm watching my carbs and having a White Claw.
Wait a minute. They should be a sponsor then if you're going to mention their names.
Oh, well, that would be nice. Yeah, Does that mean we get free beer?
It might. We got to get listeners first. Okay, so, and then again, so what would be ideal then? Like, what would work?
What would be ideal?
Like how?
Like
let's pretend
ideal but not realistic.
Yeah. Let's go there first. Okay. Let's start with Utopia Land.
Utopia Land, no grades.
You talk with each kid.
Yeah, being able to have that genuine time to sit with your kids and give them good feedback and brainstorm ideas of, you know, how to do better next time. Or, you know, maybe some kids, it's not that they don't know the information, but they're completely unorganized. Or, you know, there's so many different things. But to be able to get to actually know that kid. And when you, I believe in this very firmly, when you have good rapport with your students, they're going to do more for you. Yeah. They're going to work harder. They just are.
They do.
And what a better way to build that rapport, to be able to sit with them and talk with them, right, and have conversations with them. That's what I think. That would be my utopia.
Yeah, that would be nice. And it was interesting because I kind of got that today, you know. And
with
I was
group,
yeah, that I was doing? Really That's surprised right. at the end of the day. The end of the day with a really low class.
Mm-hmm. You know? End of the day. That's
end
huge.
End of the day, yeah. Almost the end of the week, right? A really low class But I had several kids absent, which made a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there weren't as many bodies in the room. And they did a great job working. But as we started talking and they could hear our conversations, our group grew. And you really got an idea of like them knowing what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
So could you grade them on that? Like when you, this is what I guess I'm getting at, is when you get to the point where you want to see what they learned and you have certain standards, you need to know this. The state of California or Common Core says you need to know this, 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 and this. Let's have a discussion about it. And you prove to me that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Could you grade that?
Sure.
And give that an A? How would you grade that?
Okay, well, but that's still going to be subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And even
you can't
if you're talking,
get away from the subjective.
Yeah,
you can't.
And even if you're talking standards, it's going to be subjective. Yep. Because I look at the curriculum and what they quote as standard for the lesson, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is how you're treating this standard? Like, this is not how I would say that this standard needs to be taught.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see, you're not giving me the relationship here between these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's for another topic right there.
But
so I guess bottom line is grading is
biased.
It's subjective. It's you know, people have their own biases that they bring to it. We use unsound grades that are mathematically unsound. We use outdated processes for grading, and we hang on to it.
So we can't get rid of grading.
No, because you have to
have
something
to
shoot for, right?
Yes.
Everybody needs a goal, I think. That's what it is. It's like you have to have something you're shooting for. I think some of the problem with kids today is that the goals that we're setting for them, that you need to know this, we're telling them. You have to know this.
They don't get it.
And they don't understand why. Why do I need to know
that? Because it doesn't
they don't
relate
need to know
to
it.
Them.
But here's the other thing, and this I like to tell this to my kids too. You don't need to know it. The point of you knowing it is not the point. You may never, ever discuss chromosomes and DNA ever in your life again. And that is totally okay. And you may not have to recall that ever again. And that is totally okay. But you know what? The process that you went through to learn that, the process of learning it, you taking that time to understand how it works, that is the important part. Because that is where you're going to build those neural pathways. And that is what you're going to use as an adult. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the actual curriculum. What it has to do with the process of learning that curriculum.
And that's another problem, though, because the kids don't know anything about the process of learning. It's all about getting the grade, right? Mm-hmm. Because what do I get? The first thing I get is, what do I need to get an A?
Yeah.
And if I tell them, then that's all they'll do. They will not go any farther than that, because the grading system is so ingrained in kids from kindergarten all the way through. Even though it's subjective, biased, mathematically unsound, and from year to year it's different.
Uh-huh.
Right. But that's all they shoot for now is the A. And we as teachers have let the A become the C.
Right.
Yes.
I'll agree with that.
You know, and so an A means nothing. For most classes, I would say that it means you turned in the homework.
If you turn everything in and you did all your work, you should be able to do well on the test and you should be able to get an A. That's a lot of logic for people.
Right. Like,
that's what they think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. That's a C. What you just explained is a C grade. They didn't go above and beyond. They didn't take their learning to another step. They didn't make an extra effort. And that's what I think that's where we're at a problem with in public education, mm-hmm. maybe, is that when kids don't have the drive to go beyond what is just required. We're producing mediocrity is what we're doing. Mm. That's what's coming. That's what's coming out of our schools is mediocrity. And there's a few. I'm not going to say there's not. Yeah. We always get those little gems in our class. We're like, oh, if I had a classroom of you.
I would clone you.
Totally. If I had a class of you, I'd be here every day at 6 a.m. You know, but for the majority of kids, and I'm not sure where this all started. It might have started when they started the give a trophy to everybody. Mm. And you failure was no longer an option kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a problem now is I think part of grading should be allowing kids to fail and recover.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of kids have the attitude like, oh, I already have an F. I have 6 zeros. And so why do I even try? I'm not going to make up the grade. So I'm just going to sit here and throw things at Johnny and make trouble in class.
So let's talk about zeros. So are zeros a viable grade? Are zeros a good thing? Are they quote unquote fair? If you're doing a 100-point system, why is half of it failing?
Right.
Why actually it's 60%. Why is 60% of your system failing?
Right. It's hard to recover from that.
Okay.
It is.
So we kind of did a little, well, with my lovely teaching partner, we kind of did the whole no zero. So
I changed mine to yours after I talked to you.
Yeah.
Explain what you do.
Okay.
I think it's a good way.
So it's still in the grade book as a zero, but the grade book, our grade book program, will mathematically calculate that so the actual grade never goes below 50%. Hmm. So the whole overall grade never goes below 50%. So it's not like each zero assignment counts as 50%. It just does something weird mathematically, and I don't really know how that works, but so that actual grade never goes below 50%. Because I was noticing as I'm putting in some grades, right, if the kids got a 52% and he gets 80% on something, his grade doesn't go up that much.
Yeah, it doesn't jump
you know?
Up very much.
But if he's got a 73%, and gets an 80-something percent, it goes up a couple percentage points. But the point of it was to reduce that mentality that you were just talking about.
You're not looking at the zero or 10%.
I've got 10%. I can't come up from 10%.
Yeah.
You want to go from 10% to 70%?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
My
That's not going to happen.
Too deep.
So then that goes back to that thing where, are we teaching kids that they're smarter than they are?
Why? You're still failing.
Yeah.
It's still failing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just failing at 50%, 52%, 55% instead of failing at 10%, 20%, 30%.
Where you can never recover.
You're never going to recover from that. I don't think they're going to recover from the 51 and 52% either. I really don't. As I'm looking at it, because this is the first time I've done it, as I'm looking at go in the gradebook, I don't really see them coming up from that either, because they're still not turning in some work.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like they're going, it's not like a switch goes on and go, oh, I'm going to turn in all my work now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Bottom line is, grades really don't motivate kids.
No, they don't motivate kids
at all.
They don't at all. But this article was talking about, you know, that those zeros actually demotivate. Is that a word?
Okay. Well, it is now.
Okay.
Yep.
They actually harm their motivation, because when they see those, they are like, there's nothing I can do. There's mm-hmm. nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Right? They don't work harder.
Mm-mm.
They start caring less.
Yeah, that's they true. Start caring less. 100%.
So that whole, like, well, they need to see the holes in what they've done. They need to see those zeros. It doesn't work.
So let me ask you guys this question. What would you want parents to know about grades and how to help their kids in school? If grades really aren't that important, do we really want kids to know that?
No, you don't.
Okay, so
they don't, but then, they do.
But yeah. What should parents know, or what expectations should parents have when they, you know, when it comes to grading?
I think that they need to find out what the teacher's expectations are, because every teacher has a different, same like a job. You go to a different job, you get a different boss. Look at all the bosses we've had. Look at all the different principals. Look at all their different expectations. Does that change us? Yeah, it changes us.
Mm-hmm.
It changes how we work.
Yeah, we do. Adjust we mold to their expectations.
Yeah, yes. We adjust to their expectations. So I don't think it's unreasonable that kids have to do that in school, because it is a life skill.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we see all these flaws in it, there's just as many flaws in the real world.
Okay. So you would tell parents to talk to each of their...
Figure out how the grading system works in...
Each of those classes.
In each of those classes, because you have to figure out how your bosses work.
Well, that makes sense. What about you, Jennifer?
Well, and I do, and I think it's, I almost want to say, like, it's a little different per subject as well,
mm-hmm.
where there's math where they have, like, assignments that they're turning in, like, almost like on a daily basis, right? There's so much work that goes into that, where when I teach, there's more project-based, things that take longer time. So, like, I'm putting in grades tomorrow that have taken these kids 2 weeks to even complete, so... I think time factors in a little bit too. You know what I mean? Like for me, I don't put in as many grades as, you know, as if it was math or something. Math's a whole nother ball of wax right there. But I mean, I would agree that I do think it's a good skill to learn to be able to
adapt
and
survival of the fittest, man.
You know. Conform and mold to whoever's holding your expectations, you know.
Yeah,
I do and believe that.
And what is your dog saying?
I don't know, but he's going in.
He's got his own opinion.
He's all grades are terrible.
<Sure we are. laughs>
Sorry about that. Those are my dogs in the background.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
About grading?
Yeah, what would you tell parents?
I think I agree with you, Sharon, what you said about they need to figure out what each teacher's expectations are. And then they need to help their kids, you know, organize themselves mm-hmm. in order to meet those expectations. And I think there may be some times when a good skill kids learn is like, I can't do that right now. I'm going to do this. I could take, you know, prioritize their homework as to what needs to be done and how much it's worth.
This is due tomorrow. This is due Friday. Yeah.
Right.
I got to get this done first.
I think as a parent, you should be working with your kid to be organized.
Right.
Yes.
And responsible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So teaching them how to schedule their homework, making a certain time of and
time management.
Well,
yes.
A time like when they come home from school, from this time to this time is homework time. If you don't have homework, you're reading. And then after that, it's family time or whatever, you know, it's something.
Can I add something to that? Probably a totally different topic. But you know what really bugs me? And I had a parent do this today. What really bugs me is when they're like, but you know, your only responsibility is school. That is your priority. And I think that's bullshit.
To the kid?
Yes. Apparently. Because you know what? You're doing your kid no service by making him only responsible for school. And then he's failing. So he's failing everything, and you're telling him his only responsibility is school. Mm-hmm. Well, why isn't he also responsible at home for chores?
Yeah.
Because you go to work. You still have to take care of your house.
Yeah, you still have to
do your laundry. You still have to make you dinner. You still have to take care of your family. You still have to do, you know, leisure and fun activities. And if you're setting those kids up that all you are responsible for is academics, mm-hmm. then that's another time management thing that you're failing them with. Sorry, parents.
Well, no, it's not anything to apologize for. I think that's something that needs to be driven home. I know, and there's a lot of parents I know who will say, well, I'm working and I have two jobs. Well, that's the whole thing then, right? You just made your point for you when they say that, you know? So, I don't know. Does grading really reflect toughness in the real world? Do you think that it comes down to our main purpose for teaching stuff is preparation for the real world? Is that it? Is that what grading is really for? Is that the ideal job?
To prepare kids for the real world?
Right. Does grading do that? Is that the point?
Some of it does.
Because about what you just said.
Yeah, some of it does because you're going to get evaluated no matter what job you do. You know? I mean, even if you're going to own your own business.
Well, if your end goal is to get to college.
then you better the dog should just come in and join the conversation.
Then you better, I guess you better learn how to deal with grades. I think you hit the nail on the head, Sharon, with what you were saying earlier about it's about time management, about learning how to learn. Yeah. It's not necessarily what you're learning, but the way you go about learning it.
I think that's the purpose of school, in my opinion.
I agree.
That's the purpose of school. The purpose of school is not for you to learn the nitty, except for math and reading. I'm sorry.
Well, that should be taking, yeah.
Yeah, those basic skills, that's on a whole nother topic. But those basic skills are so critical for your well-being as an adult. Yeah. Just your well-being as an adult.
Right.
You can't escape them.
So, I don't know if we came to any conclusions about the best way to grade.
Best way to grade is come up with what you want to grade and stick to it.
Maybe teachers need to also give...
Talk with each other.
Well, okay. So, like, if we're in a core.
Yeah.
If you're in a group of teachers that work together.
Oh, like a school within a school.
Yeah. If we did that.
And then you could all be on board with your grading policies.
Well, okay. So, now, let's go back to the real world. Is that beneficial that everybody does the same thing? Or is it more beneficial that the kids learn to adapt?
I think in elementary, junior high, that might work. But I think in the... High school. Grades where grades count more. I think that is, they need to be able to adapt more than, so maybe they need the training in the junior highs and elementary schools when grades aren't as critical to furthering your education, right? But I'm kind of trying to wrap this up here.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
I'm so sorry.
No.
We just talked for hours.
It's a really hard topic, and I'm really curious to hear what other people think about grading and how they grade and how they view grades as equitable or how they make them equitable. So if you have some comments, please go to our website. What is it called?
Transparency.
And
you're
teaching.
Being graded right Stop. Now, Anne. You fail.
Okay. Can I
She's
retake
sick.
That test?
We can give her a little break. We give you a leave of a break.
So transparencyandteaching.com. Go there. Leave us some comments. Leave us your ideas about grading. And yes, subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. We need lots of subscribers because we think this conversation is really important and that people need to really know what is going on inside of our public schools and what public
schools. And let us know what your grading policies are. What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, how do you handle that? How do you handle equity and A's and zeros?
Equity and access.
Yeah, anyways. All right, so I think we'll call that
Transparency and Teaching.
AA.
What's the AA thing?
What did you say? Accessible and what?
Equity and access.
Oh, equity.
It would be EA. And I think on that note, we are
equity,
out.
It's equity.
We are out. We're out. Another
bye,
time.
Y'all.
Bye. Say bye, Jen.
Bye.